My Mac Podcast 999, Software as a Disservice.
You're listening to the G-Men on the MyMac.com podcast.
And welcome, everyone, to the MyMac.com podcast. Are you tired of constantly having to update software on your internal drive, worried that missing an update might mean delays in new features or corrupted data? Well, I've got good news for you. Software as a service is here to save the day. All you have to agree on is annual service charges, having to have all your data on a computer you don't own, and the possibility that if the service goes down or away, it leaves you with nothing. That's it. That's all you got to worry about. Gaz, how are you, sir?
I'm really rather sad now after that little intro.
Why is that?
Well, I think most people now use software as a service in that way.
Every single time we record this show, we use notes.
You've upset me. I'm not sure whether I should do it so much. Mind you, that's not suiting too. I do have home-based backups as well of my data. So, yeah.
If the software as a service allows you to.
I'm very well. I'll move away from that intro because I'm sure we'll come back to it.
Yes.
I'm very well. Had a good Christmas. Had a good birthday. Had a good Christmas. Been on the bike outside and inside. Actually, earlier today, I did a 2-hour stint on my bike. I didn't get any tech for Christmas. I didn't get any tech for my birthday. And what else can I say? We just had a very merry time all the way through. Thank you very much. I did nothing on my Mac because I had to turn it off. We had people here, and obviously, I had to cover a lot of the lights that flash on in this room because it is like, it's a bit like Piccadilly Circus.
It's kind of like Christmas in that room.
Yeah, it can be. It can be. Yeah. And also, in fact, I haven't got my Christmas lights on. I've got some Christmas lights here. I'm just going to plug them in.
Okay, good. And for people who are listening to the show, you're not going to see anything.
No, they're USB lights, and we went on a Christmas Eve ride, actually, with our club, and they're USB lights, so I plugged them into a little power pack that I'd got, popped it onto my bike, and put the lights on my bike, and everyone was quite jealous.
Which was great until they slid into your spokes. Then it was instant stop.
They would have made quite a mess if they'd done that. Luckily, they did not.
Didn't do that. Good. Go. I'm very happy to hear that.
And we had a cock for Christmas.
Nope.
Okay. All right. Okay. Nope. I'll move on. We had a cockerel for Christmas rather than a capon. It is sometimes referred to as
for a chicken.
It's a large chicken.
Yes. Yes. You can't. And here's the thing. You know, you can say that. You can say cock and cockerel and, in the context of which you are speaking of it, it's fine. It's fine. I don't have to bleep anything out.
You don't, because my wife enjoyed cooking the cock for Christmas. I think she, you know, and she stuffed it as well. That was really quite
good.
There's
so many things that I could say.
She even wrapped bacon around it.
I bet it was delicious.
It was lovely. I sliced it up.
You have no idea how much restraint I am doing right at this very moment. I'm trying to be good.
But it's all the truth. I'm only telling you facts.
I know it is, Gaz. And the things that I would say would go right along with that as well. But it would take this show in such a dark direction that I'm not going to do it.
Well, how was your Christmas then, Guy? Did you have a cock for Christmas?
No, we did not have a cock for Christmas. And boy, wasn't that frustrating. Christmas was amazing. Both my boys were here along with Peter's wife, which is basically my daughter, and Guy's long-term girlfriend. They were all here. And for our dinner, we did not have a cock, Gaz. Instead, like a couple of weeks ago, I went to...
You had a couple of rumps, didn't you?
We kind
of
did. We kind of did. I went to the local butcher...
We've been taken off the air yet.
Not yet. Not yet. We'll see what happens. I went to a local butcher store that I know that I've used for years, and I wanted to have a prime rib. That's kind of what we do on Christmas. I get a prime rib. And depending on how many people that we have depends on, you know, that makes the determination on how big of a prime rib I'm going to get. Well, we were going to have six people, and I figured, okay, 8 to 10 pounds would be enough for six people along, and then have some leftovers because it's not cheap. Prime rib, very expensive. So I go into the butcher store a couple of weeks ago and I said, okay, I'd like to order a 4-bone prime rib. And they were like, not a problem. So the Monday before Christmas, I go into the butcher store and they pull out this like half a cow. And they put it on the scale, and it's 11.75 pounds. And I was like, oh my God. Oh my, I don't even want to tell you how much it cost, but it was like 11. And here's thing.
Please tell me.
You want me to tell you? It was almost $350 for this thing. But...
I had a cheap cock. It only cost 60 quid.
I'm sure. And it was a big one, too. wow. So you're at a butcher store. You can't just say that's too much. Slice off one rib because nobody is going to buy one rib as a prime rib.
So you'd look cheap if you said that.
It's not even that I would look cheap. They wouldn't do it.
Right.
Because it's already cut and it's already ready to go. And you can't have them take something off that they can't sell. They're not going to do it. So I went ahead and got it. And I had a parsley, thyme, rosemary, garlic, salt and pepper in olive oil rub. And in the oven at 500 for about 20 minutes. And then I had two digital thermometers stuck in it and pulled it when it was about 120 degrees. I don't know what that is in Celsius. And then covered it in foil and let it rest. And when something like that rests, it continues to cook for a certain amount of time. So when I finally sliced into it like 30, 40 minutes later, it was at about 130 to 135 degrees. And it was marvelous. It was so good. But it was so huge. And this is the first time I've had a problem like this. When the meal was over, there was still a lot of meat left. And what made that even worse is Liza, Peter's wife, got food poisoning the day before. So she wasn't eating any of it. So there was just five of us eating this like half a cow. So both Peter and Guy Jr. each took like a pretty good hunk of that prime rib home with them when they were done. Or we would still be munching on that for, I can't even imagine how long that would take. But it was really, really good. I had some pictures on the Book of Faces, and if you go on over there and look me up, you'll find it. But it was great. It was just a wonderful, wonderful time.
Excellent.
Now, before we go on, not only is this the last show of 2024, it's also the last show before hitting show 1000. Now, we knew we would get here one day, and...
Is it?
It is. We're bringing all of you along with us, kicking and screaming. So, a little program note here. Next week, of course, is the 1,000th, wow, that's hard to say, show. And instead of doing, you know, my usual stuff in the center, we're going to have an interview with Tim Robertson, who created this podcast and owns MyMac.com. And God bless him. He has put up with our shenanigans since 2009, 2010. So that right there, it's like when he finally passes, and may it not be for a really long time, he'll get up to St. Peter and St. Peter will say, oh, you had a guy and Gaz that you had to deal with. Open the gates. Just let him in. And
Go ahead. Or St. Peter will say, you let Guy and Gaz carry on. You're going down. Yeah.
See that hole right there? Jump down that hole. Yeah. Anyway, so Tim will be in place of what I normally do in the middle part of the show next week. And for show 1001, not unfortunately for Gaz, you've got some family stuff going on.
We have.
Yes. So Gaz isn't going to be on for 1001. And instead of trying to bring in someone else to talk, I've got Chad Perry, who was one of the original co-hosts of the MyMac podcast, along with Tim, Owen Rubin, and David Conan. I've got interviews with all three of them that I will play on 1001 instead. And then once that's done, well, it'll be back to the usual Guy and Gaz shenanigans, and we apologize ahead of time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that leads nicely, or does it? Or should I ask the question?
No, don't ask the question.
I won't ask the question.
It's right here.
Okay.
Go ahead.
He's got a different mic.
I do.
That leads me nicely into getting segments. And you can read the private chat, which refers to something that you said while I'm starting the snippets, Guy.
A private chat?
Yeah, there's private chat in StreamYard, and you can read what I put. I didn't want to say it because I thought it might be too much. Anyway, Apple shares hit new all-time intraday high. And now Guy is rolling around the room laughing at what I said. Yeah. Yeah, sorry. there's another one of these, so I'll come back to that later, because Apple shares hit a new all-time intraday and closing high, and there's another one later, so I won't tell you the price of that until we come to the one that comes on later. Apple leads the smartphone sales in 2024 with 27.7% of the global market share, which is quite impressive, really. Quite impressive. Here's another one. Apple shares hit new all-time intraday and closing highs. And again, I won't tell you what it is because it happens again later in the show, I think. I'm pretty sure it does. Apple Intelligence, the Chinese launch, remains problematic as talks continue. What? Wait, who'd have thunk it, eh? And Apple nears the end of the iPhone 16 ban in Indonesia. Looks like they might be getting close to a deal by the sound of it. The EU pushes Apple to make iPhones more compatible with rival devices.
What? It's on a different operating system.
If this is true, I've just got to ask the question, do they not want any competition in the EU? Do they not want any variety in the EU? Do they just all want to speak the same language? Well, I know that's not true.
Is there a version of a language? Is there a language called EUsian?
Well, I can't remember what it's called now, but there was a language many moons ago, which
I'm going to look it up. I know what you're talking about.
But it never
Esperanto.
Went anywhere.
Esperanto.
That's it. Esperanto.
Yeah, yeah. William Shatner of Star Trek fame was apparently a big fan. No, it never did because it was a stupid idea.
Apple have stopped signing iOS 18.1.1, blocking downgrade from 18.2. Right. Here are the airlines that are officially, because I did mention this in the news previously, that are officially letting you track your luggage with Apple AirTags. Basically,
letting us
airlines that want you to do their job. United Airlines, Delta Airlines, Air Canada, I should say.
Yes.
British Airways, Lufthansa, Air New Zealand, Turkish Airlines, Aer Lingus, Austrian Airlines, and Brussels Airline. I like Brussels. Apple called on to ditch AI headline summaries after the BBC debacle. Remember we talked about the BBC saying, well, we didn't say that. You said we did and we didn't, and we are going to tell you off. Well, it seems to have caught headlines elsewhere, and I think a lot of press are now shouting that Apple have got to stop doing some of this stuff. They'll fix it. Don't worry.
Yeah, or maybe these other sources should check their sources rather than just saying, oh, okay, we'll go with this. Do your job.
Yeah. Apple shares hit new all-time in today and closing highs. There's one more guy.
Oh, good.
There's one more. So I won't give you those prices. I'll leave it to the end. The EU wants Apple to open AirDrop and AirPlay to Android. I think that the person, company, or governing body is putting at risk my ability to be able to choose a secure and reliable environment that I have chosen. So, person, company, or governing body, if you want to play that silly game, I'm sure with a lot of other people will continue to call you nasty, horrible people for putting mine and others' security at risk.
I'll say make no your more. Apple. Own AirPlay, Android. Make your own, EU.
Apple's airport router likely won't be coming back.
Oh, no.
But it says don't lose hope quite yet.
Was this something I was hoping for? Was I hanging on a string for this?
No, it's something I was hoping
for. Oh, okay.
So, apparently Mark Gurman, is on a newsletter saying Apple's not working on a new version of its airport wireless. However, they are working on something else that could potentially serve as a wireless access point. So don't give up hope just yet. And I'm not.
Well, what are the odds, Gaz?
75%.
Okay, good enough.
That's me being hopeful, but not sure. Okay, this is for Carl. That's me being hopeful that they will do it, but not sure that they will. It's either a yes or no for folks, normally from Carl, you see. Apple are reportedly planning a doorbell that unlocks your door with Face ID. Okay.
Is that if something they do a doorbell, that we really want?
I'd like it, because I'll tell you what, I've got a doorbell, and it's a pain in the backside because it takes too long to link to your phone for you to answer the door, because by the time the person who rang the doorbell gets you on the other end, they're gone.
Yep.
Not happy. Major Apple supplier TSMC shares have hit a record high. Well, there's a surprise, isn't it? Apparently, Eddie Q has revealed the three reasons Apple won't build a search engine. Hang fire, guy. Apple is not losing Google's billions without a fight. Apple may be worth 1.5 Googles now, but the world's most valuable company needs its relationship with the world's largest search engine to keep clicking. From a report such as was evident on Monday... What?
Oh, sorry. I'm trying to find if we have, I can't remember if we have a new Mr. Cheesed Off. I don't think
we
do.
No, okay. We don't. You told me we don't at the start.
I did? Oh.
Yes, you did.
Okay. Well, I was looking to see if I had one, but I think that was the one that used.
Look at the film so you can see me. Yes, okay. You did.
Oh, okay.
Such was evident on Monday when Apple filed papers seeking to participate in the penalty phase of the Justice Department's antitrust case against Google. So on one Q, Eddie Q has revealed three reasons why they won't build a search engine. And obviously now they're fighting to make sure that Google can keep paying them. Yeah. I wonder if there's a fourth reason in there.
I just kind of wonder if, let's see, Apple makes its own search engine and hardly anyone outside of Mac users use it, or they keep using Google and get paid $1 billion a year.
I don't think it's that second bit. No, it won't be that. No, of course not. Apparently, and the only reason I put this in is because Wedbush,
Wedbush.
Just like saying Wedbush.
I know. I'd like it too.
Apple price target to $325.
Wow.
Apple Watch will motivate you to meet your 2025 fitness goals. Yes, I haven't currently watched this, but I have seen it come up in various guises when I've been searching around. It says, quit quitting. Well, thanks, Apple. Apple has teased Apple TV Plus surprise on January the 4th and the 5th. So apparently Apple this last week began teasing some kind of upcoming Apple TV Plus surprise that is set to happen on January 4th and 5th, telling customers to stay tuned and save the date.
Well, I wonder, is it going to be like new programming or is it going to be a new Apple TV? Because I'm actually kind of in the market for a new Apple TV. So I'm curious to see.
I'm not sure it'll be a new Apple TV, to be honest with you, but it might be content.
Okay, well, I'm going to hold off until the next Apple TV comes out.
Okay.
When was it? Well, how long ago was it that the last one came out?
The current one's fine for what it does.
Yeah, it's great.
Apple seeks to defend Google. Oh, I've already said that. Already said that one. Apple announces Japanese New Year promotion with exclusive AirTag.
Okay.
It's got a picture.
Oh, Gaz, look. I have goosebumps on that announcement right there.
Yeah.
There's one goosebump.
It's definitely not an image of a goose that they've got on them. I think.
Oh,
it's
that would be kind of, I'd buy that for a dollar.
I think it's a snake. Apple shares hit new all-time intraday and closing heights. Shares of Apple rose 0.82 of a dollar, that's 82 cents, to the normal people, or 0.32% to $259.02,
amazing.
A new all-time closing high. Apple intraday was also set at 260, so it ended at 259.02. But actually had a high of 260.09. Finally, your Apple Watch might know more about your health than your doctor. Well, there's a surprise.
Wow. So something that's practically permanently attached to your wrist with health sensors would know more about your current health than your doctor. Huh.
No shit, Sherlock. Oh!
Naughty word. Naughty. See,
I don't.
You're getting coal in your stocking next year.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I am. Yes. And Christmas Eve, we always watch a Muppets Christmas Carol because it is the best version of Dickens Christmas Carol I know of.
Well, do you watch Dickens while you're cooking your cock?
Hey, I thought we'd moved on, man.
We thought we. Yeah, but you see, these things just write themselves, Gaz. Speaking of which, now you need to look in the private chat.
I've already read it. My private chat is always up, mate. I stick. Okay. And that, folks, is the end of Gus's Snippets.
We are going to be in so much trouble.
We are.
This year. Oh, so bad. Okay.
This year? What, 2024 or 2025?
Yeah, sure. All the way through. I have a couple of older bumpers, Gaz.
Cool.
That I'm going to play.
Hit me.
Okay. Well, here's the first one. And I think these are like 11 years old. Hold on. Here's the first one.
Making the apocalypse seem like the soft option. The G-Men on the MyMac.com podcast.
Yeah. That kind of scares me these days.
Yeah.
Here's the next one from good friend Dave Hamilton.
This is Dave Hamilton from the Mac Geek Gab. And I never listen to Guy and Gaz. The G-Men. On the MyMac podcast.
Yeah, I love how he puts the emphasis on never. Okay.
One more?
I got a couple here.
The G-Men on the MyMac.com podcast. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly. And I've got one. I don't know if we've played this yet or not. This is from Jim.
Social media. This is an oxymoron. MyMac podcast show with Guy and Gaz.
Did we play that last week?
I don't think we did.
I'm going to play it again because maybe you can translate it for me. And Jim, we love your bumpers, but there are times when I have trouble understanding what it is you're saying. So here it goes again.
Social media. This is an oxymoron. My mic podcast show with Guy and Gaz.
I got the first part where he says social media.
It's an oxymoron. We're an oxymoron to social media.
Oh, okay. Okay. Thank you. It was like kind of like, it just, to me, it just sounded like social media. The My Mac podcast.
Can we tell everybody that we had a bit of a fun time creating our own bumpers?
Oh, yeah. Christmas? Oh, that was something. And depending on what was going on, sometimes it was a lot more fun to do the bumpers than it was the show. Sometimes. It was certainly a lot more fun than editing the show. I can tell you that right now. But
Do you want me to read some of them out?
Yeah, go ahead.
Why can't Guy and Gaz just make a New Year's resolution and do us all a favor? The G-Men on mymac.com.
Oh, are these the ones that we have in messages?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Keep going.
It's 2025 and they're still podcasting. The G-Men on the mymac.com podcast. That had lots of exclamation marks it did. Against it.
Keep going. I know there's more.
Why doesn't Dry January include Guy and Gaz? The G-Men on the mymac.com podcast. Why doesn't Guy and Gaz send us all some love for Valentine's Day? And stop! The G-Men on the My Mac podcast. Well, Santa Claus didn't bring me my Christmas wish, as here comes another one from the duo. And I spelt duo with a G. The G-Men on the My Mac podcast. Peace on earth, goodwill to all. Please will someone tell Guy and Gaz and give us all some peace. The G-Men on the My Mac podcast.
I love this.
I was just
on
a roll, wasn't I? I was just on an absolute roll. At least their mothers love them. The G-Men on the My Mac podcast.
Now, the next one we've kind of done before, but I don't think you remembered it because it was so long. Podcast.
Why? Just why? Yeah. At least we can vote for a new government. The G-Men on the My Mac podcast. Climate change. Well, there's an issue that might get helped being fixed if they stop podding, especially with all that hot air they spout. The G-Men on the My Mac podcast.
Okay, then I came back with a few. Should I read those? Did. Yeah.
Why not? We're on a roll.
Yeah. If you look at it philosophically, violence can be excused on the G-Men on the My Mac podcast. And then just after that, I've got too soon. Okay.
The
U.S. debt crisis could be resolved if Guy would just return all those microphones. The G-Men on the My Mac podcast. Here's us getting political, Gaz. Who did you vote for? Who cares, since your judgment is obviously impaired from listening to the G-Men on the My Mac podcast. Let's see. Politics and religion are strange bedfellows, but that's nothing compared to the G-Men on the My Mac podcast. And this next one is kind of a personal favorite. Here it is. They throw all their knowledge of Apple at you, but Apple keeps throwing it back. The G-Men on the My Mac podcast.
Brilliant. Right. That's the bumper section out of the way.
Yeah. And I don't remember if I played this, but I'm going to play it anyway. It's from a listener. And or should I wait until later for this?
Later.
Okay. Then we're going to go ahead and go on to software as a service, which was what we're going to talk about this week, which makes sense since I've said it now twice. Some of the key features of software as a service, and note, everyone, please, I am not wearing the hat of intelligence, and I'm not going to play the theme, even though I've got it right here. Some of the key features are it's cloud-hosted, so applications and data are stored on remote servers managed by the provider. Subscription model, users may pay recurring fees for access rather than a one-time purchase. I'm not sure why that's considered a plus. Accessibility, software can be accessed from any device with an internet connection. Automatic updates, the provider handles maintenance, security, and software updates. Now, how it works The software provider develops and hosts the applications on their servers or through a cloud provider. Users subscribe to the service and access the software via the internet. The provider manages all aspects of the application, including infrastructure, security, and updates. So some of the advantages, reduced IT costs and maintenance responsibilities for the users, scalability and flexibility to meet changing business needs, if you're using this as a business person, automatic updates and improvements without user intervention, accessibility from various devices and locations. Now, remember that using software as a service also comes with several potential risks and downsides. Data security concerns. Software as a service platforms are vulnerable to unauthorized access, data breaches, and insider threats. Approximately 30% or 36% of all employees retain access to systems after leaving their jobs, potentially leading to data leaks and compromised confidentiality, as well as deletion of data. Shadow IT, about 80% of staff admit to using unapproved software as a service apps at work, which can result in security issues, lack of control, and increased spending. Expanded attack surfaces. The integration of third-party software as a service tools can lead to vulnerable, vulnerable subdomains, APIs, and ports, increasing the risk of attacks. And I guess that would be if whatever software as a service that you're using integrates that much into whatever browser it is that you use.
Well, it's not just browser. It could be other applications and allowing other APIs, which could increase the risk.
Yes. Data loss and storage issues. 81% of organizations have experienced exposure of sensitive software as a service data. Cloud-based storage is susceptible to data loss and corruption due to connectivity problems, device failures, and disasters. Compliance risks. Some third-party software as a service vendors may falsify security certifications. Yay! Putting sensitive data at risk and potentially leading to non-compliance with regulations. Limited control and visibility. Organizations have less control over their data when using software as a service, increasing the risk of accidental data deletion or leakage, which, when the organization that I work for went to this in various ways, that was like my number one concern. It's like, you no longer really have control. You've kind of just turned it over to someone else. Deterioration. Thank you. Yeah. Guy can talk. Software as a service solutions may become slower over time, especially with high user adoption and load. So basically, especially if whatever software as a service that you're using becomes much more popular, if the people that control that software as a service don't
infrastructure. It's not only that, Guy, because I mean, in my previous role, I actually was the manager of the business lead to actually implement a load of data solutions into our company, and that performance deterioration will actually occur if you don't make sure at the start that you're going to allow for the increased usage of that application if it becomes popular and as you start to use it more and more within the organization. So
now, do you mean within the company that you're working for, or the company that has the software as a service?
That's not really the SaaS's fault. That is the project's fault in not determining enough user capability or capability, not user capability, but capability of the actual service itself.
Okay.
But yes, it's definitely a problem, possible problem.
Limited customization options. This is not a surprise. Software as a service platforms may not offer the level of customization required by some businesses. If you need that
can I throw in?
Yes, can I throw in there?
That often is down to the business not understanding what their requirements are, which again is a problem which needs to be understood when putting software as a service into your environment.
And remember that if you don't take that into account before you start using that service, once you're using it, you may not have any choice unless you go to a completely different solution, which is, of course, an interruption for all the people that work for you. So think about that. Vendor lock-in business.
Excuse you.
Sorry. Ooh, need some Wawa.
So vendor lock-in. Businesses may become overly reliant on a specific SaaS provider, making it difficult to switch or migrate data. Huh. And again, that is something which the business is going to understand and make sure that they mitigate for that at the start of the project.
Yes. Potential for application sprawl. The ease of acquiring software as a service tools can lead to an accumulation of unnecessary applications, resulting in a disjointed user experience. And I think a lot of that just depends on what were you doing before you were using software as a service. And if you were using multiple applications then, and you probably were, then using multiple software as a service tools shouldn't make that much of a difference, because most of them, depending on the level of permissions that you give to users that are using this, and most decent software as a service applications will allow you to set permissions as to what users can and cannot do with this software.
And again, this is about understanding user buy-in and making sure that you've got your users understanding what they are doing in moving over to the new application and making sure that they buy into the fact that it's going to make their life easier in some respects.
And harder in others.
Well, the others, where it's, for me, if you're creating a scenario where a certain aspect of the role is going to become harder, how important is that harder bit in terms of the role overall? Because you may actually want that piece of work to become harder because you don't want the users doing it. So, yeah, it's all about the project management, this is.
Yes, yes. Fourth-party access software as a service solutions may inadvertently share data with additional external parties, increasing the risk of data exfiltration. If there's a data breach in whatever software as a service that you're using, you may have selected the wrong software as a service. And if you continue to use them, should depend on their reaction to a data breach. And a lot of these services over time have not told users about data breaches. They just kind of sweep it under the rug. They say, oh yeah, well, we fixed that problem, so there's no reason to tell our users that their data may or may not have been put out there. And that's just wrong. That's not a good way to go. Now you've got one other thing here. Go ahead.
Well, I've actually added one of your pros, and I've used it word for word, which says automatic updates and improvements without user intervention. That can also be a con, because if you have users all around the world, when are you going to do that automatic update? Because you could have some users with the update and some users without the update, or you could have the system down while that update is being done. And then the users in certain part of the world
can't work.
If you're on a 24-hour timeline, may not have access to the system. So that can also be a bit of a con if you're not careful. And if it's not done right and you've not trained everybody into what the new updates are, that automatic update and improvements can also be quite difficult to handle.
Right. So if there's no notification to users in different parts of the world that the software is about to go through some kind of update or improvement. And they continue to work until all of a sudden they can't do anything and it goes to that new version. Then what happens to all of the data that they have done while the improvements were going on? They may not have been able to save any of that prior to them saying, you know, flipping the switch and saying, okay, well, there's the new version and look at all these great improvements that you can't say anything about and your data is gone.
Yeah, well, I'm available for hire if you want a project manager to implement it.
But not on a permanent basis. Would you agree with that, Gaz?
Yeah. I'm a fabulous consultant for you folks.
Are you nodding your head?
I am.
Oh, good.
Nodding my head.
Gaz's tips.
Most importantly.
Gaz's tips.
Most importantly.
Gaz's tips.
It's time for
Gaz's tip.
Okay, so have you ever been working on an app on your Mac, one that currently doesn't live in your dock, and you thought, you know, I want this app to stay permanently on my dock? Well, I know that you already know by right-clicking on the app icon in the dock. You can then click on Options or Option and then hit Keep in the Dock option. I always find myself then moving that app to a better position in the dock. Well, did you know that if, rather than doing those steps, you just click and hold on that dock icon and move it into your preferred place on the dock, that this action also makes sure that the app will stay in the dock continually? Bazinga!
That is a great tip. Oh, and he's nodding.
Hit it. That's the end of Gaz's tips. That's
most
the end of Gaz's tips. That's
most
the end of Gaz's tips.
Is that the end of the tip?
Will you let me finish? Gaz's tips.
Gaz, you are absolutely right.
And there we go. I don't think either one of us has a for pick's sake, but we apparently... Nope. Do have one from Carl, which very much confuses me. But okay, we'll talk about it anyway. Carl.
I want to look at it.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Ooh.
He is Ooh. Recommending the Easy SMX M15 Type-C mobile gaming controller for Android iPhone 15 Series Plus, USB-C cloud gaming Xbox, PlayStation, Game Pass, Blue. It's got like all these buzzwords that are attached to it. And it's basically, it's a little dock. You kind of spread it open. You put your phone in the middle, making sure, of course, that the USB-C connector for your phone, whoever has it, goes into the USB connector for this particular controller. And then you can use it and do stuff and play games and do all kinds of things on your iPhone or your Android device, or apparently lots of other devices as well that require or can use a joystick controller. It looks kind of cool. I don't know if it has any other colors. I only see it in white.
No, I think it's only in white.
Oh, that's disappointing.
But I'm assuming that actually it's then just controlling the games that you've got on your device.
And it's about £38. I don't know, because this is going to Amazon.co.
Well, currently on here it's $45.44. So really? About $50, I would say. Yeah.
So it's cheaper. It's cheaper for us here in the States. I guess
that's usual. But don't forget, you haven't got tax. We've got tax already included on that. Everybody always forgets that.
If I had bought this, I would be taxed in Virginia for whatever this is. And I'm sure that it's available in the regular Amazon store as well. I'll look it up maybe. Maybe later. Maybe. I don't know. But it does look kind of cool. No, don't quit notes. I almost quit notes and I'd be like, oh God, what do I do? Feedback. We actually possibly have some feedback. I don't know if I've played this before. Well, you know, sometimes I just find stuff and it's like, oh, did we play that? I don't remember if we played that, but I'm going to play it again. And it's from Scott.
G'day, Guy and Gaz. It's Scott from Sydney, Australia here.
Hey. G'day.
I just wanted to send you guys some feedback.
Nice.
To say how much I really enjoy the MyMac.com podcast.
Thank you.
I've been listening for probably 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
Possibly even longer.
All right, hold on.
I really
Okay, hold on.
You have guests.
I can see where he might be slightly confused if he has been listening to this show for 4 or 5 years or possibly longer. Okay, I'm going to keep going. I'm just kidding, Scott. Thank you. We really do appreciate it.
A guy, when Gaz has not been available, particularly the gentleman you had from the In Touch iOS or In Touch with iOS podcast.
Oh, yeah, David. David Ginsburg.
Today, that was a very enlightening episode, and I enjoy every episode each and every week. So thanks very much, guys, for all that you do for the Mac community as a whole, and keep up the awesome work with the podcast. Thank you.
Thank you so very, very much for the feedback, Scott. We really, really do appreciate it. And I don't.
That was amazing. I can't believe it.
Is he somebody that was happy with
reality.
They were. He was happy. He was happy to listen to the show.
It was. Thank you, Scott.
That's thank you so really much. And much Scott, if you will send me an email,
we try to give a little bit of information with a little bit of joviality, if that's even a word.
No, it's close enough.
It's close enough, but we kind of everybody. There's so many podcasts out there that do give lots of intense, great information.
So serious.
We can't be doing that. We can't be doing that.
We'd be like everybody else.
We just got to riff it with each other. So I'm glad you find at least some of what we say useful
and fun to listen to. We appreciate. We, you know, even if you had called up and said, you guys are the two biggest twits that I've ever listened to, and then stopped right there, that would be okay too. But Scott, if you will send me an email, and we're going to talk about that in just a second, I will send you, and I can't, since I don't remember if I've played this before or not, we may have already done this. I will send you something wonderful, wonderful, that is called a Woo T, and that's big W, big O, big O, big T, little I, little E, exclamation mark, and that is a Wooty. And if you thought your life was amazing before, you will sit there and wonder how you got along for however many years that you have been on this planet without a Wooty.
Move on.
Moving on. Okay. I guess we're kind of done with the 1,000 bumpers part.
We are.
If I have not played your bumper and you've sent one, please let us know and I will find it and I will play it. We got stuff from all different directions this time and it may have gotten lost in the shuffle, but I blame Gaz just because, you know. That's what I do.
Why not?
Sure. And there is going to be an Amazon gift card given to someone, somebody, somewhere. And we will let you know when that happens. Now, Gaz.
What?
If people wanted to contact you and say, I didn't even know about this 1,000 bumper thing, even though you've been talking about it for 10 shows, how would they do so?
Ever so easy. Send an email to gazjz@mymac.com.
Yeah.
You can also contact me on numerous different social medias, including Blue Sky and, well, Mastodon. And there's just lots.
Yeah.
I'm on Instagram. I'm on Strava. I'm on Facebook. And just search. You might not find me as Gazmaz on the Facebook, but you can find me in all of the others as Gazmaz. And if you can't find me as Gazmaz under any of those on social medias, send an email to gaz@mymac.com. It's that easy. You can also send a tweet. I'm going to call it a tweet.
Yes.
Or you can also contact us on Blue Sky under Guy and Gaz. That's GUYANDGAZ.
Cars.
You can also send an email to feedback@mymac.com, FWDBACK@mymac.com.
Yeah.
His name was Guy.
Is it?
He's the guy.
Pay no attention to that guy behind the curtain.
Guy says...
He does.
On my Mac.
Ah, my Mac. Killing
Guy's
me.
The one.
Am I?
Remember Guy?
Do they?
Guy.
Guy? If you want.
An email from Guy.
No fool. And
thank
how
you.
Would they do it?
Oh, I just take a breath of relief every time we get to this part of the show, because I never know, even though you always put me out of my misery before we start.
Yep.
It's the anticipation. It's the anticipation, Gaz, that makes me crazy. You may just, one of these days, you're going to say that and say, okay, I'm gone. And you'll be gone and I'll just be like, oh, God, no. Anyway, if you'd like to get a hold of me, Steve or Scott, I remember your name, then you can you can do so by sending me an email to
I was ready with Mac Power.
That would have been weird. Send that to squawk@mymac.com. That's just GUI@mymac.com. That's the email address. You can also find me over on the X thing, whatever, as either Mac Parrot or Vertshark. And I am also on Blue Sky. Those are really, honestly, guys, there's too many social networks for me to deal with. So I'm pretty much just on X and Blue Sky these days. But I'm Mac Parrot over on Blue Sky. Let's see. We have a Google Voice number, Gaz, don't we?
We do.
What is it?
Indeed we do.
Call 703-284-677 for the MyMac podcast with Guy and Gaz. It's tech heaven. That's 703-284-677. Get in touch now. Your call is...
There you go.
Okay.
703-828-4677. If you're outside the US, you will need to put a 1 in front of that number and you may get charged. So, you know, there are many other ways you can send.
But if you forgot what the number is, it's...
Call them anyway. 703-828-4677.
So that's 703-828-46... Now, if you'd like to help support the show, you can do so by going to patreon.com/MacPettit, you can go to ko-fi.com/MacParrot, or you can PayPal at paypal.me/MacParrot. And I feel obliged to say, you don't have to. We're not going to guilt you, probably, into contributing anything to the show. We love doing the show and we'll keep doing it even if you're really cheap. Okay, now. Oh, this is the part of the show where I say thank you. Thank you so very, very much. And not only for Gaz and myself, but for Tim and Chad and David and Nemo and Owen, who have been doing this show off and on for a very, very long time. For so far, 999 shows. And that is amazing. Thank you so very, very much. And Gaz, I think that for 999 shows that, we've been good enough. Maybe. And that for 999 shows that we have, I got something caught in my brain, smart enough, and that Wolf, doggone it, that amazing dog that we didn't see this week, people like us.
How do you make a tissue dance? You put a little boogie. And.
Thanks for downloading and listening to the MyMac Podcast. You can also hear other great podcasts on the MyMac Podcasting Network, like the Tech Fan Podcast, Three Geeky Ladies, Geekiest Show Ever, the Let's Talk Podcast, Essential Apple Podcast, and the Club PlayStation and Club Nintendo Podcasts. Okay. As soon as I heard tissue paper, it was like, okay, I know where this one's going. I still have not done another ending for the show, and I really, really need to do one. Actually, this is going to be in the after show.
Is it?
If anybody wants to do an outro for the My Mac podcast, and, you know, please, 15 to 20 seconds at most. You know, we don't need a, you know, huge, long, hey, look at us, we're wonderful, so do all these things. Just like 15 to 20 seconds, something similar to what we just did. And if you need to, you can go to mymac.com and see the active podcasts that are there. That would be wonderful. And considering we have actually gotten a lot of people who have created things for the show that we still use. The Gaz's tips theme, for example, and the closing theme were created by a listener. And
yeah, and I think, I'm not sure, but let's not say the name.
Okay.
But I follow someone who follows me on Strava who has the same name. And I'm not sure whether it's that person or not.
Oh, that did the Gaz's tips theme?
Mm.
Well, it's a great theme.
It is.
And we're very, very appreciative. It's so good. We have been using it now. I don't even remember when we started to use it.
Yeah.
It was early on.
Yeah.
You know, and once you started doing Gaz's tips, it was like it came not long after that.
Mm.
And indeed, we're very appreciative. And of course, the beginning theme of the show was created by, oh, damn it.
Yeah, I can't remember his name.
Yeah, Tim would. Tim would remember the name. But a very, very talented musician.
Because Tim used to use it, didn't he? So
that was the opening
theme. We stopped using it for a little while, but.
Yeah, and I still like that other song, but it just seemed the closer that we were getting to show 1000, that we would kind of go old school and go back to the original theme. Now, I did make it shorter because the original theme was probably well over 30 seconds. And
can I just interrupt you? Because we had something from Marcus.
Oh, Marcus Benjamin, you're talking about Mr. Bleep Bleep from from the Book of Faces? Yeah.
Mm.
Did he give us something as an opening?
He actually sent it on my birthday.
This year? Or years in the past? Oh, send that to me.
No, you were on it.
I was on it?
Yeah. Yeah. guy@mymac.com. Back on the 18th of December.
Why didn't
so
I see
Marcus,
that?
Marcus, if you're listening, we will play it. We will play it. You are included. It'll come next week. It'll come in the show next week. I have to say, sometimes we do miss stuff in our email.
Yeah, I think I missed this. And here's one that's like, when did he send? Oh, that was back in August.
The one I'm looking at was sent on the 18th of December. And it
I see that. And I'm going to pull that.
You can play that next week. So thanks, Marcus. We do love you. We didn't forget about you. Well, Guy did.
Yeah, I kind of did. I'm sorry. Oh, why isn't it letting me? Oh, there it is. Why does Apple do this? Where, you know, they hide like the reply all, you know, save.
Yeah.
And it's like, why are you doing that? Just put it like what everyone else does right up front. What the hell is this? Oh, it's one of the blocked accounts. I get so much
I hope this isn't going in the after show.
What?
This bit.
Oh, it probably will.
Well, don't.
Well, I got so much mail from BS accounts.
great, but that doesn't need to go in the after show.
Oh, it totally does. Like, this is from site called Truthfully, and I have blocked it. It came in yesterday. Oh, no, it's not blocked. But I will do that right now. Blocked. And the headline is New York murder, suicide, five dead. It's like, why am I wanting to read about murder, suicides in New York? I really don't. Or murder, suicides anywhere. Isn't there enough of that in my life that I don't need it like thrown at me through email? And I think I was telling you not long ago that I had been having a problem with AOL mail, because I still have an account with AOL so many years ago, and I fixed it. And as soon as I fixed it, my inbox just went whoop, 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 and all this crap came in. And I spend, when I'm looking through my mail, and I'll have 200 emails a day sometimes, as I'm going through it, it's like, oh, Jesus, why are you sending me this? And block, 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 block. And I keep, and it's nonsense, like trying to sell me something, trying to trick me into thinking that this is from, oh, this was something I was actually going to talk about. I got a message just before we started the show. And we kind of hit on this before. And it's one of these, your package cannot be delivered due to incorrect address information. Please update your address and we will deliver it as soon as possible. And then they give you a link to hit. And here's the link. USPS, United States Postal Service, .com/
Yeah.
Track AZIRRU. Where could that be coming from? -top. So it's a spoofed address. It's not, well, actually it's not, because instead of going to USPS.com, it's going to USPS.com/track and then all that other crap. And if you click the link and hit yes when you open it, you put in all your information and it's just going to whoever the scammer is. And then they do whatever it is that they're going to do with it. And I actually hit this once. I didn't put in any information, but I did hit it just to see where it was going to go. And oddly enough, it did go to wherever that was. But the links on it actually went back to the real USPS.com website, which stunned me. It was like, okay, well, you know, you're trying harder than most scammers. I'm still not going to give you anything. I'm not going to give you a cock for Christmas, but I appreciate the effort. And the number starts with a 63. I don't know what country code 63 is. Do you have a browser open?
Yeah.
Check that. See what country code 63 is. I'm going to guess it's Russia, maybe. The last time I got one of these, it was in the Philippines.
Philippines.
Yeah. But why would, and same kind of thing, you know, it essentially, this is trying to go back. I think, I'm pretty sure it's trying to get back to Russia based on the URL that I see, but they're going through the Philippines to do it. And
it's just a load of people working in an office and they've got that and it'll all link back into there and then they'll snap it and do
whatever it is that they're going
to
do.
Do whatever it is they need to do with it.
Yeah. So everyone, assuming this goes into the after show,
it's not all Russia, guy. There are plenty of other nasty people out there working in different countries.
Yeah. And it could very well be that,
Russia wouldn't be wasting their time on that.
Well, they'd not necessarily, because after the USPS.com dash, it's track AZIRU. But the RU part is part of the URL. And then it's like .top/US. So this is a US-based message that they send out to, you know, probably everyone that's on their, it's in their database, trying to fool some people into believing that this is actually coming from United States Postal Service. But it does say regards the U.S. Postal Team, so it's very polite. But yeah, it's just total BS. And you know the thing is, this is like, as far as scams go, it's a no effort scam, which pisses me off. Because if you're going to try to scam me for money, at least put some effort into it. Do something that kind of makes you stand out from the other idiots that are doing this. But no, they can't be bothered. It's like, there's enough stupid people in the world that somebody will click on this.
Yeah, and they just happen to send it to you because they think that you're stupid enough.
Well, sometimes you can't argue with certain things. All right, so you're not going to be on next week.
That's not what I said.
Oh, not next, the week after that. Okay. So before next week, I need to edit the bit that Tim did and make sure that that's ready to go.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds good. Well, I'm going to go upstairs and get something to eat because I haven't eaten yet today and I'm starting to get very hungry.
Well, I've eaten, but it was earlier. We now got to have some dinner. So
yeah, well, it's 12 o'clock here. It's noon here.
Yeah, it's 5 o'clock.
I just wasn't
here,
hungry so when I first got up.
Dinner will be in a little while.
Yeah, I've already started. I guess I've already started my intermittent fasting because you're only supposed to eat between like 12 and 8 or some kind of nonsense like
just,
that.
Just eat when... Just set your times and just eat for those times and eat less and more healthy. Remember? Less.
You know, here's the less part is what confuses me. I have a problem with that word, especially when it comes to eating. Because I like eating. I really, really do.
Well, there's your problem.
Well, no, it's not a problem for me. It's a problem for my body. And, you know, if they can't handle it, them, you know.
They can't handle the truth.
You can't handle the food. Tastes good to me.